Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Josh Rogan of The Washington Post is here. His Washington Post intelligence report about the Golden Dome. Recommendations. Rules-based process. What's that mean, Josh?
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk in the defense tech community right now about throwing away the acquisitions rules and procedures that are usually used to spend hundreds of billions of dollars of taxpayer money for a very reasonable sounding reason, is that they don't work. And the way that technology is developed is different from the way that the Defense Department does procurement. And it's too slow and the system's broken and it's corrupt and all that. That's all true. But what I say is that there are a lot of companies out there who really don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because if it's just about transactional interactions with this White House, well, then the richest companies and the most politically well-connected companies will get all the money and everybody else will be out in the cold. And that's not really necessarily good for the defense industry writ large, and it's certainly not good for the U.S. taxpayer. So I think that when I'm talking to CEOs, more of them want to see some rules and some oversight and some accountability as we go to spend these hundreds of billions of dollars.
The most active parts of the system. What does that mean, Josh?
Well, it means that, like, you know, the Pentagon and the military is the largest organization in the world, actually. So if you're trying to get a contract, you got to know where are the people who really care about this thing. And they're not at the services. They're not in the Army procurement. They're not at the Air Force procurement. They're basically at the Office of the Secretary of Defense for Research and Evaluation, and then at the Space Force, and then, yes, still at the NDA, because even though Missile Defense Agency didn't get the contracts, they're going to have to do a lot of this implementation. So you got to sort of find the people in the system with their fingers who are at these choke points. And I think that's the way a lot of companies are going to win successful business as this moves forward.
Now, this recommendation I heartily endorse because it applies to everything at the Pentagon, everything in government. Invest in the supply chain. Is that a new concept in the Pentagon? Did they ever think through supply chain when they come up with a new system?
It's the thing that everyone always talks about, but no one ever seems to really figure out. I mean, if you just look at what's going on, you know, we're going to have factories all over the country shutting down because China has cut off the export of some critical minerals or rare earth minerals, whatever you want to call them. And so there's no way that we're going to build a satellite laser system to fight China without Chinese components, because that doesn't exist. You can't do it. So we might want to have a think about that. And then if the U.S.-China relationship does go down the tubes even further, you might want to think about where else you could get those components. And you might want to start thinking about that now.
The supply chain is major vulnerability for everybody. I understand that. But is there actual conduct at the Pentagon moving on this story?
I've seen a lot of talk, but not a lot of action, you know, and I think that when you talk about what would really need to be done, you basically have two options. It's not about the minerals themselves. It's about who can process and refine them. And right now, 95% of that is done in China. So you got two options. You can either do it here in America. It doesn't seem likely that's going to happen because we don't have the manufacturing and we don't have the talent and the personnel. And, you know, or you can do it in a third country. That's the other option. I think that's more likely. So you got to find a country and then you got to incentivize it to not only build up this capacity, but to build it up for you. And either one of those options is very difficult, going to take many years. And, you know, they ought to start now.
But you've got to worry about the supply chains of your suppliers. Resources that can't be interrupted by China. Is that going on?
Well, that's what's being attempted, but without a lot of demonstrable success. In fact, what I'm saying is American manufacturers for components move their manufacturing inside China, because if China has an export ban on anything, if you're producing it inside China, you're free from that. So while we were trying to get use tariffs and export restrictions to onshore manufacturing inside the United States, it's having the absolute opposite effect. And it's going to make a lot of sense for some companies to move inside China. But that's a temporary fix, because if the real decoupling comes, then that factory inside China isn't your factory. It belongs to the Chinese government because it's a socialist state and they'll take it if they want it.
There will be a day when Donald Trump is not the president. Is this built for that? Are they anticipating it could last years?
You know, it's a really good question because we don't know who's going to be president next. You know, there's a wing of the Republican Party and the MAGA movement that would see a missile shield that can protect the continental United States if it were ever to exist as a justification for withdrawing U.S. troops from countries all over the world. In other words, a big wall, except a wall that goes into space. And you could see that as an excuse for all sorts of isolationism and retrenchment if someone like J.D. Vance were to become president again. On the other hand, if the Democrat wins, you could see them seeing that this as an escalatory, provocative move that's going to start an arms race with two countries, one of which has a lot more money than us, and they might just tear the whole thing down. So, you know, elections have consequences.
Has anybody provided a timeline, a way of judging how they're doing, whether it's practical or not?
Yeah, the president says he wants to see an interceptor test in 18 months. Now, whether that not that intercept test is just a regular intercept test that they show him so he's happy, or some demonstration of a new capability, remains to be seen. It's pretty clear from the people that I talked to that it's going to take 5 to 6 years to actually put anything new or innovative into space that would answer a lot of these questions. But I think the real deadline is just basically the end of Trump's presidency. That's how long the money will definitely flow. After that, all bets are off.
By January of 29, really? Really?
That's what Trump said. It doesn't seem possible. That's just what he said. All we know is that the money will keep going until then. And so it would behoove the supporters of this program to build as much of it as they can before that deadline, because after that deadline, the money might not be there.
You call it a moonshot. Is Washington happy with that? That has consequences.
You know, it depends who you talk to. I think that we live in an age where every defense program is politicized, and this will be no exception. The fact that Trump has called it the Golden Dome probably doesn't help build bipartisan support. And some people are very happy. The defense contractors are thrilled. You know, it's just a huge, huge pile of cash, unlike any we've seen in a generation. There are other people that aren't so happy. And
right.
And if you're somewhere in the military and you think you have a more urgent need, and that's no longer the priority, and that could be a problem.
Josh Rogan, Washington Post Intelligence.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.